The body is a symphony, and we're going to talk today about some of the parts that play together to make beautiful harmony.
On a previous program, a Nobel Prize-winning scientist said, "The principle of purpose stares the biologist in the face wherever he looks." During these next few minutes, we'll look for purpose in a specific part of creation as we present Truth in the Test Tube. Here's producer Dave Fisher to introduce today's guest.
So we're talking again today with Dr. Charles Weber, who is professor of physiology at Loyola University.
My research specialty is the pulmonary system, the lungs, which draw air in and push air out of the body. And breathing, of course, is the motion of life. It really expresses what life is.
So the lungs are one of the systems that we would not be able to live without.
Exactly.
If they stop breathing, for how long we're dead?
Well, if a person is asphyxiated from 5 to 10 minutes, other body systems will start to deteriorate, especially your brain. Your brain needs that oxygen, especially.
Okay. So tell us about your research and what you've learned about the lungs during the course of your career.
Well, the lungs are an organ which, as we say, exchange oxygen with the blood and also expel carbon dioxide from the blood. And people can study the pulmonary system from the standpoint of a pulmonary mechanics, pulmonary blood flow, what we call ventilation perfusion matching, or even how the ventilatory system operates as a filter and protects us from our environmental particles and bugs and things like this, and how we can be healthy. The type of physiology I study about the lungs, though, is how does the brain control breathing? The breathing, of course, is a rhythmic act, and it depends upon your nervous system. This is why if someone breaks their neck in a diving accident, if it's a high spinal cord injury, like at the first cervical, second cervical level, they cannot breathe because they've separated the lungs and the nerves that go to the lungs and the diaphragm from the brainstem. The brain does control breathing. As I say, we're interested in rhythms. And what we can do by our methodology is detect abnormal rhythms. So just as someone you can tell if they have a limp, you say the walking is not right. Well, your ventilatory system can have a limp too. We have apnea, we have gasping, we have changed Stokes breathing, all different kind of patterns, which means that there's something wrong with the way that the brain or the heart is working.
Now, from the standpoint of the body being a symphony, you've mentioned the brain being very crucial in making the lungs work together. What details do you want to share with us about the lungs operation?
The lung motion depends upon chest motion. The chest only moves because the muscles around the chest contract and the diaphragm contracts. These muscles only contract because the nerves carry electrical events and say, contract. And they only contract because the brainstem tells them to contract. So there's a whole sequence. An electrical event in the brainstem is converted into electrical impulses, which travel all the way down to the muscles. The muscles interpret this as a signal to contract. And when they contract, it makes the chest cavity get larger in volume, and the lung obediently just expands like a bag inside of this expanding chamber, and it pulls air in. This is how we breathe.
I see on your laptop you have reference to a scripture verse that relates to this.
From Psalm 139, it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb."
Now that's addressed to God. Speaking to God.
This attributes the design of the human embryo, starting from conception up through the whole gestational growth in the 9 months to birth, as God's work.
The word knit means it's not just a symphony, but a tapestry of the entire body.
That's another way to put it. A symphony, of course, is a tapestry of instruments. And a tapestry is a music of threads. Why don't we take a step back and look at even a more fundamental piece of information. DNA, what a marvelous discovery of this alphabet within our genome. Millions and millions and millions of base pairs made up of four letters, A, C, T, and G, which codes for protein and body structures. It's a language. Human body has 23 chromosomes paired, and today we know so much about DNA.
I remember one thing you said in class was that a heart cell has all the information needed for a brain cell, but it knows not to express it.
Isn't that interesting? Every cell has identical DNA. Identical.
Then why isn't every cell in the body identical?
Because every gene is not turned on. All the genes are present, but most of them are silenced. And so when you silence genes, the cell will be a bone cell. The signals coming from the genome expressed, so you're going to be a bone cell. Now, the same DNA, which is in the heart, will say, you're going to be a heart cell because we're going to suppress all the bone information that's in you, but we're not going to let that come forth. But we're going to let the heart information come forth. So brain cells, bone cells, liver cells, kidney cells, blood cells, all have the exact same code, but the body's very selective.
And what else do you cover in your lung lecture?
We talk about the breath of life. In a sense, breathing is the first physiological act. So when a baby's born, right, what's the first thing? They take this big, deep breath, and then they start to cry. They're starting to breathe for life, for oxygenation of the body. The breathing cycle doesn't just have two phases, air in, air out. It really has a third phase, pause between breaths. So we inhale, we exhale, and then we rest. Those are three phases.
How long is the rest?
The rest is only about 2 seconds. But when you're resting, how do you know if you're going to take your next breath? So we trust that we will get another breath. It's automatic. If you have something stuck in your throat, if you have an asthmatic attack, you think about your breathing a lot because you have this dyspneic sense in you. I have to get a breath. I have this air hunger. But when everything's normal, we don't think about breathing. It's just automatic.
So tell me about the structure of the lung.
There's only two organs in your chest, the heart and the lung. The functional unit of the lung is called the alveolus. The alveolus is a very thin membrane sac which holds air. Think of a cluster of grapes. The grapes would be these little alveoli which are budding off, and on the outside of the alveolus is the blood. You can't see your alveoli by just looking down someone's throat. They're way down there. So what happens is when we breathe, the air first comes in either through the nose or mouth passageways, and it goes down the trachea. And then the trachea branches to left and right mainstem bronchus, and then they branch into lobules of the lung, where there's five lobes of the lung. There's five lobes total. Two are on the left and three are on the right. It's an odd number. And the reason that there's only two on the left is because we need space for the heart, which is that second organ in the chest cavity. Think of the trachea being the trunk. And then we come down and it branches off into right and left mainstem bronchus. That's like two big branches coming off the tree. Well, they branch again, right, into the five lobes, and then they branch. Now, the branching occurs about 23 to 27 times. And when you get to the very end, you're at the alveolus. And what's the analogy with a tree? The alveoli to the lung are like leaves to a tree. The leaves have a very large surface area, and they allow for the transpiration of water. Water comes out of the tree at the leaf. And in the lung, oxygen comes out of the alveolus into the blood.
Now, some have said that the bloodstream going past the lungs is like a freight car unloading and loading at the same time without stopping. Does that make
sense?
That's
another way you can do it. Yeah. For example, the blood consists of plasma and cell. Oxygen is stored in the red blood cells. And so you could view those sort of like freight cars. Maybe a better analogy, they're like rafts, they're floating. And when this blood is continuously being pumped by the heart across the lung, oxygen is continually moving from the alveolus into the plasma, and from the plasma it moves into the red blood cell. So it fills them up. At the same time, carbon dioxide, which is in the blood, is expelled from the blood into the alveolus. So it's going the opposite direction. So independent whether you're inhaling or exhaling, oxygen is always going into the blood, and carbon dioxide is always coming out.
And there's some intricate chemistry going on at that time, too.
Oh, absolutely. We oxygenate the blood. Mm-hmm. So it's a covalent bond. That's chemistry.
And what about the reverse part of it?
Unloading?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the reason that we load the blood up with oxygen is so that the oxygen can be delivered to all body tissues, right? We need to go to the muscles. We need to go to the heart. We need to go to the brain to unload oxygen there because we need oxygen for the production of ATP. Without ATP, all the body mechanisms will shut down, cells will die, and we can no longer sustain life.
Now, this ties in with the body being a symphony, knit together. What would you say in conclusion to tie things together?
Well, we know that when you are not breathing, there's something wrong. new parents are concerned about their children breathing at night. We put little Johnny in the crib, so careful about not putting toys in and so careful that he doesn't suffocate with the blanket. But what we need to realize is that breathing is automatic and breathing is a rhythm. And there is such a thing as sleep apnea, that's for sure. But the apnea of all apneas is when we take our last breath, where this life ends. The Bible is filled with verses about, it says, and he breathed his last, Abraham. And he breathed his last, Ishmael. And he breathed his last, Isaac. To these people, if breathing your last means that you've come to the end of your life. I like the psalmist. He says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. We talk about, what's your last words on your deathbed? And the Bible verse here says, I will be praising God with my last breath. I think that's wonderful. And even Jesus himself, he says, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, Jesus breathed his last. That's Luke 23:46.
Now, one of the other things you said in the class was, God has put each part just where he wants it. And the way they coordinate and not just fit together physically, but the way they function together is really an amazing symphony.
Well, our lungs are not in our abdominal cavity, are they? Actually, the lungs are in a place where it's protected. Protected by a bony thorax, because the lungs are very delicate. The membrane that separates the blood from the air in the alveolar level is less than 1 micron thick.
So 1 micron is 1/1 of a meter?
1/1 of a meter. Less than 1/1000 of an inch. Very, very small and fragile. So it's protected by the chest wall, which consists of the bony thorax, the muscles over that, and over that, the skin.
One closing thought.
Well, the lungs are a remarkable organ, and we need to appreciate our lungs, not abuse our lungs by breathing air which is foul as best we can, certainly not smoking, and to use our lungs to not only oxygenate ourselves, this is automatic, but to use our lungs to express ourselves. The articulation of words, the lung becomes the pump, just like on an organ, a musical organ. We have this air source. But then at the tongue level and the oral cavity, we can form or mold the expiratory airflows into words. And as we said, those words should be used to praise God. That's what I believe.
This has been Truth in the Test Tube, looking at truth through the twin lenses of the world that God created and the Bible that God inspired. If you live in India, our email address is testtube@radio882.com. That's testtube@radio882.com. Elsewhere on planet Earth, use truthtest at truthinthetesttube.org. Truthtest at truthinthetesttube.org. We would be happy to hear from you, and feel free to send your reactions to anything we said today. And please join us again for additional episodes of Truth in the Test Tube.